Then why does the church attack the power of God? You know, we have so many people, or in South Africa, let's not even speak about the world, but let's say South Africa, they attack deliverance, they attack the prophetic, they won't attack healing because, you know, I don't know why, but they attack deliverance and they attack prophetic. Any truth that is hated and attacked carries value in it and is a threat to someone. You know, just for example, now this lady we prayed for, I mean, she needs serious deliverance with some things that was revealed there, but and they'll pray for her. But do you know how many people are bound in churches of pastors who once believed in it, or they no longer, or they have never believed in it? And what they do is they just counsel and hug. And I was in one mega church, and demons was manifesting all over, and the people didn't know how to deal with it, and they just began to hug the people, and they didn't know how to. Jesus never hugged a demon. Are you guys with me? He interrogated it, or he casted it out. One place he would cast it out by one word, and another place he would interrogate, and another place he would do certain things. So now they go onto TV and they talk about us, and they say, you know, there's this group of ministers in South Africa that is talking to demons and this and that. No. Just because you don't know how to do it, and you need to learn how to do it so you can set your people free. Because the reason there is, you can say whatever you want, there's a spiritual world that is real. And unless you see it the way we've seen it, I remember doing hundreds of deliverances through the nights for years and years in the beginning of my, not even my ministry, in the beginning of my salvation, kind of like when I went into, when I was being used more in ministry. And the things you will see, people won't believe what you see. And then they think everything is okay. They don't understand that deliverance, or the demonic, is the destroyer of marriages. So it brings in false teachings. It is what brings addictions. It is all those things. And you can sit and deny and deny and deny and deny, because a lot of people have an analytical or a reason or a logical mind, and they're like, oh no, it is impossible. Until you sit in front of somebody that is what is happening. And then you will realize, and when that demon manifests or begins to speak and the things begin to come out and you have to deal with it, then you realize, okay, but wait, there's a spiritual world. But even in that, pastors don't want to set people free. They can't set people free because it takes too much energy, too much time. It takes too much work, too much of a price to be paid. So, and it takes for you to know your authority in Christ. You know, so I made this live stream on here coming here, and I said, why do churches attack? Why do they attack? You know, and obviously people went onto TV, and there was this one minister, and they were speaking. Well, people sent me the clip as if it was me, as if they were speaking about me. I couldn't think of who else they would be speaking about in South Africa. But they would say, because it was right after the week we were ministering, we were prophesying, we were in Cape Town. We're prophesying very forensic, and prophecy must be drawn out of someone. Otherwise, nothing can happen. I said to the church in Cape Town, I said, listen, there was 500 people there that Sunday night, and I walked through the aisles, and I, as we do usually in worship, to look for hungry people. And I prayed for people, but there was nobody was drawing out prophecy. And right at the back, there was a man, and the lights was off. It was dark. I couldn't see, but I just saw these hands stretching out like to me, like trying to grab a hold of me, but it was quite far. And I said to the person, I said, come. Why? My heart was touched by somebody that wanted to draw it out. Because people don't know how to receive a prophet. They don't know. So, and when you don't know how to receive, you will never benefit. You would think you are benefiting, but you are not. You're benefiting from the pastor that you are seeing. But you're lacking out on the prophetic gift. I have seen what the prophetic gift can do, but it needs to be received and it needs to be honored. And outside of that, you know, so I pulled this guy out and I began to prophesy. I stand by him. I said, An angel is pointing to me. I see you had a heart attack last year. He says, yes, I had a heart attack. I said, I see this. Yes, I had this. I said, I see a car accident with this colors of the car. He said, this happened there. I see. I said, your wife is there. You are here 3 years. The Lord is saying, you will be now at a place for 3 years alone. And then I see you reuniting with your wife. And then I see you are going to be moving to a certain country. Or I see something connected to a country. The guy said, my wife is studying in that country for 3 years. In 3 years, she'll be back. And then we're reuniting, and then we're going to go to a country. I said, I see your brother walking. I said, I see your brother walking with a bottle. And I saw him walking drunk. And I said, as he's walking, and I'm acting it out, why? I'm there, literally there, in his brother's body, if I can say it like that, at that time. And I'm acting, I'm walking, and I'm saying, and I'm seeing group of guys coming to him, beating him up. And I see him lying in a hospital. And he said, yes, he was beaten up, and he was set up by, I said, it was a setup. He said he was set up by a group, and he's in hospital. I said, the next time they will kill him. I said, he's an alcoholic and you need to pray for him. And we went on and on and on like that. Why? Simply because somebody knew how to receive the prophetic. Are you guys with me? And then God gave me a very, very valuable lesson after that. Very valuable. I had to repent, and I did do it publicly. But, you know, I prophesied to a lot of people. A lot of times when we travel, people would come to us one-on-one, and I would sit, whether it's by my house or whether it is wherever I'm at, they would come for hours, and I would sit, I would minute talk to them, and then I would prophesy to them. Some would come with a gift, some would not come with a gift. And it's not so much in the gift, because I've prophesied over many that hasn't given a gift because the Lord would tell me to prophesy. But there's a way to receive and there's a way to honor. And I was prophesying over a lot of people. And one person I was prophesying over came, and I sat for a few hours with him. And then I prophesied over them. Just before I prophesied over them, the Lord said to me, do not prophesy over this person. Just like that. They asked for prophecy, which everyone does when they're with us. And as we're asking, the Lord said, don't do it. And I disobeyed. And I said, no, I'm going to do it. That's fine. You have the ability to pierce through, if you're a prophet, into the spiritual realm to see. So you have seers and you have nabi prophets. Seers are a bit dangerous because they can see a lot of things that God might not want to say. So as I'm sitting for about an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours, sitting and just seeing and prophesying and explaining what I'm seeing, and very accurate and giving direction and all this stuff, it was over and done. And the person greeted me and they left. And after I prophesied over this man that I pulled out from the back of the church, which was open, ready to receive, afterwards he comes with money, anything that he had on him to give to me. And then the Lord said to me, he said, you disobeyed me. He said, never again prophesy over anyone individually. I must be in a church setting. Church setting is different because that's your ministry time there. Okay, so. But never prophesy over anybody unless I tell you to, or unless you are received and honored. Just like that. And I said, he said, because the one that came to you wanted to test you and not valued what you were saying. So you casted your pearls before the swine. So it was not valued. And the Lord said, because of that, you have sinned. And it is a sin to cast your pearls before the swine, meaning it is a sin to go minister somewhere where you're not received, embraced, or honored. So how is it that a man right in the back of a church comes, gives me all his money afterwards that he had on him, but my God allows my eyes to open like this. It feels like another eyelid opens. Physically, I see an eyelid open. And then I'm in another realm, and I see another time, and I can see, and I can talk as if I'm there. And then this with others, it just doesn't. You have to pierce that eyelid, try to open that eyelid. Okay, that is how it feels. And you were there, I think, with me. You know, it was that one that God said to me that. Because there was no honor and there was no receiving. And it's not about money, because honor is not money only. Honor is with a heart. Honor is with a lot of things. It's just sometimes the Bible does say our heart is where our treasure is. Okay, so it's one of those things. That's Jesus' words, not my words. But I'm not saying it is, we will never sell prophecy. You can never buy the gift of God. You can never buy deliverance or prophecy, never of those things. And anybody that does it, I do not stand by it. But I have seen out of experience when a prophet is received and when it's not received. You know, and for pastors out there that are not allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, or allowing deliverance or prophecy or whatever to not come into their church, and they're even calling it false. I mean, the attacks we get weekly, I don't even care. I don't even feel rejected anymore. Somebody said to me something yesterday that really hurt me from a great man of God. And the Lord said to me, why are you feeling rejected? You are accepted in me. I've accepted you in the Beloved. And I said, you know, that is all I want, is His presence. I don't care, you know, as long as my eyes still open and I can see. Now, it is very rare, because we have a white culture that literally just don't know how to honor. They are familiar, arrogant, I'm sorry. Familiar and arrogant, and they are... they say one thing here, they gossip behind your back here. They say this to your face, and then there's somebody else. And then they will treat you like equal. We are not equals. Never listen to a lie that we are equals in eyes, God's eyes. No. He loves all of us the same. But you're not equal to your boss. You're not equal to your manager or somebody. Are you equal in value? Yes. Importance? No. So all of us have value. What is our value? The blood of Jesus Christ. Are we all important to God? Confident yes is there, one or two. So people would say, I'm important to God. It depends on the unction that comes on you. Because He will only put an unction on the ones that have spent time with Him, that is close to Him. And that unction will cause you to do certain things. And let me be very clear with it. It'll cause you to preach the gospel. Whether you are a doctor, a professional, a businessman, or a preacher, it'll cause you to preach the gospel. It'll cause you to prophesy. It'll cause you to lay hands. It'll cause you to cast out devils. That's what it will do. It is the unction. The unction doesn't come to be a great doctor. That is natural skills. The unction is a heavenly unction. When it comes on you, it is like a mantle that rests on you. That is how you know. And what as to whom does God do it? Okay, He has favorites. He has those that are elected. It's like they can even be in sin and they have an unction coming on them. And then there are those that they spend time with God. I sought Him for many years. I might not have had to if I knew the gospel of grace. But one thing I knew is I sought His face. For hours and hours and hours I pray. People can say prayer doesn't do anything. We've preached and I'm praying in tongues for 3 weeks, and I'm going to touch maybe a little bit tonight on it. Tongues is, as the law was in the old covenant, tongues is in the new covenant. So when the Bible says, let this law not depart from your mouth, that's old covenant. In the new covenant, it's let the Spirit not depart from your mouth. That is why Paul said, I pray in other tongues more than you all. Because every time you pray, you're communicating with God. And it is the law, because the Holy Spirit replaced the law. He has written the law on your hearts by His Spirit. a spiritual law. So the Holy Spirit replaced the law. So there's no more law, it's now spirit. But how do I move in the spirit? I pray in the spirit. Are you guys with me? So I am broken because I meet many ministers, great men of God, not so great men of God, and the sin they are caught up in will make you never come back to church, if I have to tell you. Does it make them evil? No, I think it makes them trapped. I think they are trapped. And if they would have believed or gone for help or know that there's a body that has different gifts, maybe this one church here knows how to plant churches, but maybe Encounter knows how to move in the supernatural. So what does Encounter do? Encounter goes to that church and say, I want to know how to plant churches. I learn from one another. But then that one must come and say, okay, you know, I want to learn the supernatural. Now, it is happening with one or two rare ones, big ones out there with us that you will still hear about. But it is very rare because of pride. And it's and these ministers get caught up in a sin. And I'm saying this live because I have no reputation. I don't care. Jesus became of no reputation, and he was made the name above all names. So I'm saying this live because they're caught up in a sin, they're caught up in a trap. And South Africa is still going to see a bit of exposure that is happening. Do I rejoice in it? No. Do I have a lot of info? Yes. Just not natural info. I'm also a prophet. So, you know, it is not that I understand why we are not very befriended with a lot of people. But people are threatened when they encounter the supernatural, because they know deep down inside their lives are not right with God. How does your life become right with God? You know, we're going to have a men's conference coming up Saturday, which is going to be awesome. No man must miss it. If you're sitting here and you're a man, you're missing it. You're not a man. We assume then that you're going to be a woman. Okay. So I have a very important message. I want to minister there. We're going to have a panel. We're going to have a great, it's going to be really awesome. So somebody, I was counseling a couple, and I said to, it was in the last week, and the one person is tormented. For example, let's say the wife is tormented, but the wife refuses to submit to the husband. I said, but if you, and I was sitting in front of them, I said, but if you submit to the husband, I said, God cannot bless what is out of order. He cannot. I said, is your life in danger? No. Okay, this, no. Why not submit? And many times we think we submit, and the same in the church, because Jesus took the marriage model and he compared it to the church, Paul, in the book of Ephesians. When there's no submission, when there's no things that is in order, or when we step out of order, the blessing of God cannot move. It's not that we are not blessed. It just cannot flow because the order isn't right. It's like you're trying to pour water, but there's blockages. Are you guys with me? So I thought of saying this, that you're going to see how more and more churches are going to come to Encounter, looking for freedom, prophecy. You're going to see it all over. Whether it's destroyed, I've had international relationships cancel me. I really couldn't care. I know what I believe, and I know in whom I believe. So never underestimate the power of God. Never be in a place where there's no power. Never be in a place where there's no power. One minister's, their associate pastor, one minister, they are their associate pastor came to us with their wife of a mega church. The associate pastor of a mega church came to us. We're in a conference worshiping. The glory comes down as it usually does. Next thing, I see something slithering on the floor. And I'm realizing it is the associate pastor's wife that is slithering on the floor. You know, so, and then we had to do deliverance on the associate pastor as well. And yet they would be next to the man, another man for 20 years, and nothing would happen. So, thank God they didn't put us onto TV. I don't know why they removed our TV show, so that's awesome. They would have done an investigative thing, but I don't want to talk too soon. It will obviously still happen, or things will happen in the future, but I didn't really care either. I think they pulled out because they couldn't find a scandal. I know that they couldn't find a sensational scandal. What are they going to say? Leon is saying it's us or traveling. It's not TV. Okay, so that's all. There's nothing they could find. There's no scandal. So they really go sometimes after scandals. And I go with you to Ephesians 1 verse 15. I want to share with you something. I want us to get into this. So, but my emphasis again, and that's why we're getting into praying in the Spirit, because a lot of people pray, but they pray the wrong way. They don't pray with fire. There's no fire on their prayer, and there's no fire in their prayer. Are you guys with me? So Ephesians 1, let's go to 1 verse 15. Let me read from there. So I'm starting off, I haven't prepared a message really. I'm just getting into some scriptures that I got and see what the Lord does. And then we're going to pray for you and minister to you. So it's once a month service in Krugersdorp. So we're not going to, God's not going to be rushing in speed. We don't have to finish very late, but we don't have to rush in speed. We can let the Spirit move. Are you guys with me? But what I want to encourage you, let's not be, there was a season with Encounter where I could feel a lot of familiarity. Let's not become familiar to the gift. You know, the gift is not me and I'm not the gift. The gift is in me. It's a real big difference. And you know why many pastors are killed out there is because they were not taught these things. So what happens is the congregation becomes familiar, so the pastor can't flow in his gifts anymore. So the pastor begins to die spiritually. The congregation is dying spiritually. Now they're both hating one another, and the anointing left the building. Because the moment a familiarity is allowed, now one thing I do is I address familiarity. I come against it. I push hard against it because it is a spirit of rebellion that wants to enter. Yeah, I'm not saying it is not your right. It is not your right now, but let's not become familiar with a gift that God has placed. You know, you'll have a lot of people come, and they'll come on our stages, and they will tell you, and they've told you how many times almost every guest speaker we've gotten out, they'll tell you they've never seen a church where the presence is this much, where the anointing is this much. Daniel Adams, my friend, messaged me on the phone a few days ago. He said, Leon, I've traveled the world. I've never experienced the glory as it was in your church. I said, so he said, I've had gifts. I've had all these things and revival and emotions and screaming and demons being cast out. But the glory, now the thing is where the glory is, it is where God honors something. God puts value on it. Are you guys with me? He puts value on it. Listen, to do a work like this in Krugersdorp, let me tell you something, as a secondary church, meaning we have a church headquarters in Centurion, and we're doing this, we're running a full-fledged church here. It is not easy in a city where churches are not making it. go in the evening and try to look for how evening services are. You're welcome. They're not making it. And so what is happening is we're continually beating against an atmosphere. But the thing is, once you catch the revelation of new creation realities, that you are an atmosphere, you are an open heaven. When we say we have an open heaven, it is because people open themselves and the heavens is opened. So it doesn't matter how demonic an atmosphere is, I can take 5 or 10 believers in there. And if they know how to open themselves and create an atmosphere, the atmosphere is shifted. So that is what we are building here. Are you guys with me? Ephesians 1 verse 15. Let's see. Now I just got this just on my way here. Let's just see what the Holy Spirit is saying. I am at my best when I'm relaxed, not when I'm tense and up and down. So when I stand like this, I stand against this thing for a reason, because I minister the best when I'm relaxed. Okay, so therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now this is all good, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of this glory inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. Say with me, exceeding greatness. I want to speak on authority, and I'm going to touch on tongues, and I'm going to touch on fire. But I want to first touch on authority. Say with me, authority. Authority is not faith. Faith is not authority. Authority is something that comes by revelation. Are you guys with me? Authority is knowing who you are because Christ, you have been given the keys and it's settled. That when He said, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, it is settled. There's no question. If Jesus said it, that is what it is. Now Paul is saying, and what exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ. So with me, worked in Christ. So I want you to listen to this. The focus is here kind of like on Christ. He's saying which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. Say with me, seated. Remember that word. Seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. Say with me, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. Meaning, I have raised Him up, seated together with me on my right hand, to be far above. Say with me, far above, not little above, far above principalities, powers, and He goes on, might and dominions and every name that is named, not in this age but forever. So with me, forever. That means He is seated far above every president. Let me just in another translation it'll say this, it'll say far above all principality. Instead of principality it'll say rule. So it'll say far above all rule. So with the rule, that means any rule that is put into place, Christ is far above it. In another translation, in the West translation, it'll say government. So with the governments, meaning it doesn't matter what government comes into play in the nation of South Africa. If you are in Christ, there's something I want you to catch tonight. There's a realm that you can walk in. There's a realm, a dimension that you can walk in. Please have your eyes open, church. Don't sit with dead spirits or dull spirits. There's a realm that we can walk in, which I believe is our glorified
state, not our glorified body. There's a difference. You'll be given a glorified body, but there's a realm where you can reveal your glorified states. Are you guys with me? But it only comes when I have fire in my prayer, not just a prayer life. When I can pray with fire, say with you, with fire. That is why God is an all-consuming fire. There's a difference with somebody preaching and their voice is empty, or somebody preaching and you can feel, but wait, there's substance behind there. Or you can look at somebody's eyes and you can say, but their eyes, they have seen the glory of the Lord. Every encounter you have, will be expressed in public and will be seen on you. The residue of an encounter you have will be seen on you. So let's go on where we were. Far above all, so he's seated. Say with me, he's seated. Far above all, not only this age, but also in that which is to come. Next verse. And he put all things, so with you, all things, under his feet. Now this is beautiful because it's speaking about Jesus. But stay with me. Are you guys with me? He's putting all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Wait, go back. Gave him to be head over all things. Does it say in the church? Does it say to the church?
Yes.
So it gave him, it gave Jesus to be the head over all things, and it was given to the church. He was given to the church. Next verse. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. But now next verse, next chapter, chapter 2 verse 1. When we move into 2 verse 1, it changes now. The image changes from Christ to us. Now this is where I want to touch a new creation realities. It shifts right here. And he said, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Please understand, every unbeliever has this evil spirit. Are you guys with me? Every unbeliever as a spirit of disobedience that is operating in them. That is why they are unbelievers. Among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Just stop there. And were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The problem is we have Christians that have no power because they're fulfilling the desires of their flesh. They're fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Everything is to... What is flesh? Flesh is not this body here. Flesh is what you want. I'm going to say it again. Flesh is not the skin. Flesh is what you want. Flesh is the things you want. Flesh is saying, I relax today. The spirit is saying, no, get up and work and be disciplined and do 1, 2, 3. But flesh is saying,
You know, you can just, you don't have to go to church today. You can go next week. It's flesh, it's carnality. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. He says, these are the characteristics of unbelievers. Next verse, now listen to this. But God, say with me, but God. And you can be glad for the but in there. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, not we loved him. You know, these things of these, you have now this movement in celebrities and they're getting saved or whatever, and they're like, oh, I love God. And they are what we call theists. A theist, theism, is they believe in God, but they haven't given their lives to Jesus Christ. So you have famous podcasters in America right now, famous people, real famous people, and they'll speak about God, but they won't mention that they've given their life to Christ. That's why there's no change. Jordan Peterson is an example. All of you love him. He's a great guy. We're not demeaning him. He's a great guy. I'm just using him always as an example to explain to people what theist is. Logical or analytical way of reasoning, reading the Bible in a psychological way and then coming to the understanding, okay, by reason, okay, Jesus Christ has done this. If I put my faith in him, I can be saved. So I've put my faith in him, but you haven't put your faith in him. But how can you judge another one? Because spirit witness to spirit. If you are a true believer, you will know if a person is a true believer or not. You'll know it. Are you guys with me? I love him. I'm just using him as an example. Please understand that. I'm just using him as an example. Even when we're dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, serve thee by grace, I have been saved. Next verse. And raised us up. Serve thee, raised me up. Now remember, he said he raised Christ up and seated him. He raised him up far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, name, and every name mentioned. Now he says, and he raised us up together and made us sit together. Say with me, sit together. Where? Far above governments, far above principalities, powers, mights, dominions. Every name he has made you to sit high above. Where? In heavenly places. Say with me, in heavenly places. He doesn't say he will make you sit. He said he has made you sit. He has raised you up, number one. And then number two, he has made you sit. Now, what does the Bible say earlier? It says he raised Christ up far above all principalities, powers, might, mind, and he's made him seated on his right hand. And now he's saying, but wait, as Christ was raised up, we are raised up together with him. Are you guys with me? And as we are raised up together with him, we are seated. Meaning you are stop working and toiling. There's a realm that I believe you can touch where your glorified state can be revealed. The man of you that is currently in heavenly places, there's a place where you can get, where you can peel the mask like Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration when he showed Peter, James, and John. When his face began to shine with the brightness of the sun and Moses and Elijah appeared to him, what happened? He was showing his glorified state. Are you guys with me? Now Paul is trying to say, I had this revelation. I was taken into the third heaven. And when I was taken into the third heaven, I saw that we were seated in Christ far above everything. So have you my authority in Christ. So if you are above governments, above this, above principalities, powers, rulers, doesn't mean you have to break the natural law. No, no, no. But you are far above it. And when you are far above it, we sit and think, why can I not get a breakthrough in my job? You don't know your new created identity. Negativity. I allowed for 1 year negativity into my life. And this is another thing I had to repent of. I allowed for 1 year negativity, but I listened to a minister that said to me, I must stop preaching what I'm preaching, and I must preach, I don't know, the ABCs of the gospel, whatever they called it. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. And I did it, and the unction left me for a whole year. The unction left me. And I had to repent afterwards. And then I realized the unbelief that set in my heart. When you are next to somebody or you talk to somebody and they're always speaking negative or small-minded, it affects your faith. You are where you are because you have not seen yourself in a greater place. I could have still stayed in a 3-bedroom place. But I had to constantly see and buy without money, because there's a currency in heaven called faith. There's an economy in heaven called honor and a currency called faith. That when you have faith, God honors it, because the Bible says there's one thing that pleases Him: faith. It is impossible to please God except by faith. So when He sees somebody that has faith, I'm not speaking of unrealistical faith, okay? Don't sit and you have a Tata and you know, you're living with somebody in somebody's house and you believe next month you're gonna have 5 Lamborghinis. Now don't have unreasonable. There's faith can be reasoned. It's called the reason of faith. But there cannot be negativity. It has to be God said, not our fears and limitations. And when you associate yourself with the wrong people, it can pull you down. And the next thing, all of a sudden, in a month or 2 months, it feels like you have this depression, or you're just not, you're negative, or you all of a sudden begin to talk. What happened? You opened your ears to unbelief of another person. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Are you guys with me? And unbelief comes from the source of fear. And fear is a spirit, which is the voice of Satan. So when unbelief comes, it means I listen to Satan, not God. So if a minister speaks to me and it brings unbelief, it means I'm listening to a minister of Satan, not a minister of God. I remember I had unbelief. I had unbelief setting in where I literally thought, maybe I'm not even called to great things or this or that. And it opposed everything that God has said for how many years? But because I might have listened to somebody that is wrong. The moment you open up your ears to junk, and what is that junk? It can simply be just negativity. Somebody just putting a little bit of water on your fire. Your family saying to you, no, you know, just get realistic now. You know, you're emotional now at church. So it's just going to be an emotional roller coaster. You have 6 months and, you know, the season will be... No, shut up, you devil. Because what you are doing, you're bringing unbelief into me. Bring unbelief into me. When I got saved, it was not 1 year, and the Lord said to me, leave my family and leave your house. He said, go to a place where I'll show you, like I said to Abraham, and then I'll bless you. I packed my bags and I left. Because He could not raise me in the environment that I was in, because to them I was just another little boy. So God had to take me out of my environment, put me into another environment, raise me up before He could bring me back to the place where I was born in. Are you guys with me? So environment determines everything, and association determines everything. So unbelief is very dangerous. Let's go back to the scripture where we were. And He raised us up together and made us sit together. This is what gives you authority, knowing what the Bible is saying, knowing your position in Christ. That is why I'm saying, don't settle for thinking this is your lot in life. Your parents were poor, your grandparents were poor. This is, if I can just survive, if I can just dream of this little bit. No. If Christ has died for you and He has raised you up together, He has, not will, He has raised us up together in heavenly places. It means nothing is impossible for you. You can walk wherever you are, and every place where your foot shall tread, it is given unto you. You can walk into business and you'll get, I'm not saying you're going to start at the top, but you can be like a Joseph. You can start at the bottom. But within a few months or something, you'll be promoted and promoted and promoted. If you truly have the Spirit of God. A lot of Christians are weird. They can't get a, they can't keep their jobs. They are poorer than the world, which means there's an error somewhere. Why am I keeping addressing this thing? I don't know. I'm a prophet, and that's what the Lord is saying. I did it for the last 2 weeks. But there's an error somewhere, that there's billionaires everywhere else except in the church. Well, in America there is, but not in South Africa. Because there's an error somewhere. There's an error that when people get saved, they all of a sudden think they are entitled to just... And they stop applying themselves. And then yet those in the world, Jesus said, the sons of darkness has more practical wisdom than the sons of light. So something is wrong. One of the things is many Christians have stopped honoring God. You see, when you change kingdoms, the rules change. Jesus said, to be first, you need to be lost. To be great, you need to serve. The rules change. It's upside down. To get, you must give. Jesus' words, not Leon's words or Paul's words. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together. So in the kingdom, there are laws. One of them is generosity, where we honor the Lord. The honor the Lord is the tithe, where we say, okay, we give to what belongs to God because He has blessed us with what we have. And we pay tax to SARS, 48%, 45%. God is only asking 10%. So we give to God what belongs to God. Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Jesus, Matthew 24 verse 24, or 20 verse 20, around there. And then, or 23 verse 23. And then honoring God. Honoring simply means I recognize it's Him that has given me the blessings that I have. Whether the blessings are little or whether they have a lot. But when I honor Him when it's little, I will honor Him when it's a lot. But when I don't honor Him when it's little, I won't honor Him when it's a lot. My wife and I have a blessed life. Not where we want to be, but we have a blessed life. And the only thing I can put, and I can say to somebody, this is what I've done. I haven't had a skill set here. I didn't have a business there. I didn't have an inheritance there. In fact, quite the opposite. I had to pay off debt. I didn't have this there. I didn't have any of that. But I know what principles I followed. I sought God like it was no man's business. I sought him. I don't know why I sought him, because he was in me, but I had to come to the realization of that. But I sought him. And then we were generous. You see, when the Spirit comes on you, how will you know when the Spirit is on somebody? They'll be like the wind. You don't know whether they're coming or they're going. Their calendar changes. They're not on a schedule, because they are led by the Spirit. And they are generous in everything. My wife and I, we were just generous. We were, everything we had, we were giving away. I found it was a joy for me to see somebody blessed. And I didn't, for some reason, got blinded to what we needed. And I was just giving. But what did I know? What did I not know what I was doing? I was depositing things in my heavenly account. That when a time comes, God would bless me in the right time. Or I could make a withdrawal in the right time. So now by my faith can actually work and make a withdrawal. Many people can't withdraw power because they've never deposited prayer, power through prayer. They don't have power in heaven. So when they have to withdraw, they are in a overdraft with God. If Jesus had to pray, do you know how many times Jesus had to pray? Every time he cast out a devil, you see, before and he prayed. Every time he did, most of the times he did miracles before and he comes out of prayer. Not 1 hour, it says almighty prayed. Or he departed into the wilderness to pray. If Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, prayed, how much more requires our prayer to have fire and for us to make prayer deposits? Pray 1 hour a day for 3 months and see how your life changes. With fire, with tongues. But guess what? 99% won't do it. Because the devil knows how dangerous it is. And our flesh is not dead. Try to pray and see the distractions that come in. Your phone will ring. This TV program will come. You'll all of a sudden, I need to eat. Just this thought comes up. You literally think, no, I'm going to get actually sick. I don't feel very well at all. I need to get food in my stomach. Try to pray for 1 hour. Just 1 hour is the minimum. All night is the maximum. And I'll show you in scripture now. 1 hour. Jesus said, if you cannot even pray 1 hour, you will not overcome the temptation when it comes to you. This is why Christians keep falling into temptations. Their prayer life is missing. They have no prayer life. They pray in the church, but there's no private prayer. There's no private prayer. There's no place in their house where their knees hit the deck and they pray. And I'm not speaking of a child's prayer. I'm speaking of praying until fire is deposited into you. Because you can pray till fire comes from heaven. It'll be 1 hour or 3 hours or 7 hours or a few days. Fire will come on you. Because when a sacrifice is accepted by God, he answers it with fire. When he answers it with fire, it is a man and a woman that has sought him in prayer. But we have tried every natural thing to figure out stress and all these things. Go to this doctor A, doctor B, psychologist A, psychologist B, this one, that one, except seeking God in prayer. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just flow with me. Are you guys with me? So say with me, I have authority. Let's go on. Just on this topic, just, I know it's not an offering right now, but just remember this whenever you give again. Say Psalm 118. Or let's say it. Go to Psalm 118:25. Let's see what David says. Read this for me. Say, save now. Read it. Later. Send later. Send tomorrow. David prayed, God, send prosperity now in my life. Meaning every time you give, You have to take it by faith. Listen to me, church, have your seats, have your seats. Listen to me. We're in Krugersdorp, okay? We're not in, I know we have all types of people right here, right now. But we're not in an area that is very high class. Just stay with me. That is why God is allowing me to preach this stuff. Your only deliverance is when prosperity is preached to you correctly. Trust me. If you want to stay poor, Ochi is down the road. I'm joking. I don't even know who they are, okay? I just, NG is around the corner. What I'm saying is, the doctrine you believe in, if a preacher doesn't preach prosperity, generosity to a church, teach them how to be generous, how to give, they rob them from being blessed. And I can say it with all confidence, with my moral compass right in place, because it's something I practiced all my life. It is even, I have taken, many times somebody wanted to give me a big gift. I got a big gift just now recently. And I said, no, don't give me that much. I said, give me less. And the moment I said it, the Lord rebuked me. He said, if you're a man of God, you'll be able to receive it. Because if you don't, you're stealing their blessing. So Gideon saw the angel of the Lord coming. And he said to the angel of the Lord, he said, stay here. I'm going to go get a goat, or I'm going to get a barley bread and get some food. I'm going to do an offering, bring you an offering. And he said, stay here. And he ran and he got the food or whatever. And he put it on a rock in front of the angel of the Lord. And the Bible says the angel strike it with a stick, with a rod. And fire burnt up the offering. But the angel had no hesitation to receive the offering. When a minister refuses to receive an offering, it means they're not a minister of God, because they're doubting the gift in them. Are you guys with me? When a minister, you know, we have all these churches, I have this big church calling me in. And I keep saying big churches, they really are. Big church call me in. Oh, you preach too much on offering. Huh? Where have you ever heard me preach on offering? When, if I do an offering, I literally just get up and say, give. I never preach on an offering. Yes, my guys preach on offering. But if I have to take up an offering, I just get up and I say, guys, it's time to give. Yeah. Give. And they said, no, you preach too much on offering. And you know, in my church, I don't take up an offering. We just let the people walk out and they give at the doors. I'm like, yeah, that's great, because you have so many billions. You don't need to take up an offering. But if people don't give, you rob them. Because in the kingdom, the rules are turned around. So I can choose to be in the kingdom, where I can choose to live by natural. So why, getting back to my thought of this, is why does God allow me to preach this in Krugersdorp? So the financial deliverance can come. I do not come from a wealthy family, quite the opposite. I do not come from no silver spoon in my mouth, no inheritance, no talent, no skill, no gift. I didn't even have the ability to speak in front of people. But I prayed until an unction came on me, until God anointed me, that I could actually go out and do. And then for 10 years, I fasted, I prayed. I didn't, 8 years, I fasted, I prayed. I was never blessed this little bit financially, never. I saw people around me blessed. I was not blessed. Some nights I didn't even have water to drink, because you couldn't drink out of tap water where we were. Didn't have water, money to buy water. I lived in a domestic room for about 2 years. It rain in the room, and my mattress was on the floor of a wealthy house. And there's other young people that were in ministry with us. They were given all this money by business people. I don't understand it. They were all given oceanfront view rooms for like 4 or 5 years All their food's paid, but I lived in the domestic room outside. And there are people in my church now, in our church now in Belito, that saw me there. There's people in our church here that saw me there. And I would not even be invited in to eat or anything like that. And now many are asking for help and so on. But anyway, that's fine. I had nothing. And then 8 years in, it was 2012, I received a revelation of giving. It was always preached to me, but my mind was closed to it because the one who preached didn't practice it. Then I remember sitting under another ministry. I flew into another ministry, and this revelation hit me. Man, and I gave everything that I could. When I say from that moment, everything changed for us. Everything changed. Before that, I fasted 40 days water. I prayed. I did everything. I served all the things. The moment my hand could give was when God said, now he's ready. We had debt cancellation, debt rights of Jesus visited people in dreams saying you need to pay off Leon's all his debt, hundreds of thousands. So there are seasons, I believe we have a principle of giving all the time. And then I believe there are seasons where God takes us in, where you have radical giving for a season. There's like the seasons that God does. And that was the season my wife, everybody that knows me can point back from that moment. My whole ministry changed. Everything in our life changed. Are you guys with me? Let's go on. Psalm 5 verse 1 in the Message version. Say with me, same prosperity now. So if you ever question where is prosperity in the Bible, there's one verse out of many. Okay, Psalm 5 verse 1, Message version. Listen to this. I know I preached this before, but I'm going to go a little bit further. I might not get to tongues tonight. Listen, God. Please pay attention. Can you make sense of these ramblings? My groans and my cries. King God, I need your help. Say with me, every morning, you will hear me at it again. Meaning every morning you'll hear me pray and come to you. Every morning, say every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on your altar. Meaning every morning, I am a living sacrifice. I confess everything. I lie on the floor. I am on your altar. Where there's an altar, there's fire. My body and my life is a living sacrifice. It is not mine, it is yours. And he says this, he says every morning, I pray and watch for fire to fall from above, to descend from heaven. So he's saying, every morning I'm praying until I can see fire falling from heaven. Meaning, has your prayer life reached heaven? Where God will cast fire upon you and place an unction upon your life, where it will set you on fire. Oh, it's silent down this place. Are you guys with me? If you had fire, you'd be rejoicing right now. So, say with me, there must be fire in my prayer life. Prayer life, a fire doesn't come by. Or, Lord, thank you for my daily bread. Daily bread? I don't want daily bread. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does it go? Give us this day our daily bread. No, I don't want my daily bread. I want more than my daily bread. Yes. Forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me. But I thought I am forgiven. It's an old covenant prayer. It is not a new covenant prayer. It was before the cross.
Jesus told his disciples how to pray just because they were continually complaining to him, teach us how to pray, because John is teaching his disciples how to pray. And Jesus was trying to tell them, you don't need to know how to pray because I am with you. But when I leave you, you must know how to pray. And the only way you'll be able to pray is if you're baptized with fire. Then you will automatically be able to pray. So let me give you a Jewish custom prayer right now, which is a Jewish prayer, and it is an old covenant prayer, but it's got nothing to do with the new covenant. In the new covenant, he has already answered your prayer. He answers your wants, the desires of your hearts. Serve God passionately and see how he will answer the desires of your heart. Are you guys with me? Serve him passionately. Give him your everything. And see how he will answer the desires of your heart. Where are we? So, go with me to Leviticus 6 verse 9. Leviticus 6 verse 9. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth, upon the altar all night. Say with me, all night.
All night.
Until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. I'm going to read it again. Until morning. And the fire of the altar, say the fire of the altar. Who's the altar? You are the altar. Your body is a living sacrifice. So the fire of the altar shall be kept burning. Say it will be kept burning on it. Meaning there's a fire that must kept burning on you, because your prayer pulls fire from heaven. Are you guys with me? Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. Psalm 114 verse 1. Psalm 114 verse 1. Laroska avreche kenoska tae. Let's put in the Message version. Listen to this. So with the fire. After Israel left Egypt. Please remember that sentence. After Israel left Egypt. So they were coming out of Egypt. The clan of Jacob left those barbarians behind. Judah became holy land for him. Israel, the peace of holy rule. Israel, the peace of holy rule. Now listen to this. The sea, say with you, the sea, took one look and ran the other way. What happened? It was not Moses only who lifted his staff. There was a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day, that when the sea saw fire, it parted ways and it ran away. Listen, the River Jordan turned around and ran off. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. When they crossed the River Jordan to go into the promised land, there was fire that was seen upon them. And the River Jordan ran away. Next verse. The mountains turned playful and skipped like rams, meaning the mountains saw fire and begin to skip like rams. The hills frolicked like spring lambs. What's wrong with you, sea, that you ran away? And you, River Jordan, that you turned and ran off? And mountains, that you did skip like rams, and you hills? And he says, goes on, next verse. Earth, you're in the Lord's presence, in the presence of Jacob's God. He turned the rock into the pool of cool water.
turned flint into fresh water. Next verse. Oh, where are we now? To fresh water. That's fine. Are you guys with me? Go with me to, say with me, fire. Go with me, Luke 13, verse 31. Luke 13, verse 31. I want to get to another verse as well. Maros. Listen to this. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Let me put it in today's vernacular. Get out of South Africa because the president wants to kill you. Are you guys with me? Jesus answered, "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and perform cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I shall be perfected." This is what he's saying. He said, listen, I am far above governments. You don't tell me what to do. I work on my own schedule. Why? Jesus just came out of prayer before he said this. He had fire upon him. When you have fire, you have boldness. You will open your mouth and speak with the fire. Go tell that fox, "I cast out devils. And I do healings." And he said, "Not on your schedule, Herod. On my schedule, I will still be here today. I will be here tomorrow. And only on the third day will I check out." Meaning, I choose when I die. You don't choose when I die. But Jesus had fire upon him. Are you guys with me? I can see some religious spirits are getting upset. Let's go to Psalm 87, verse 1. Psalm 87, verse 1. Ek kan maar uitstap, dis okay. Die Here vergewe jou. Psalm 87, verse 1. I'm just preaching. We haven't even prayed yet. But it's so late. It's not late. Psalm 87, verse 1. Let's go to the Message version again. I think that's just a bit better. In a way, let me just see. Yeah. It's a bit 87. Now, say with your location. Prayer is born from somewhere. It's not born on the earth. When you get born again, the Bible says you get born from above. There's a location you're coming from. Are you guys with me? Paul is saying, or the book of Hebrews is saying, we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the registered church in heaven, the innumerable angels, the spirits of just men. We have come unto Mount Zion. But you have come from Mount Zion. Because when you were born from above, from a place called New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. The mother of us all. That's Paul's words. Are you guys with me? Now listen to this. So the location is important because people are positionally in the wrong location. They live their lives positionally on the earth. When you should live yourself positionally in heavenly places. Understand that when you come from Zion, there's a people that belongs to God. Mm. So verse 87, verse 1. He founded Zion on the holy mountain. And oh, how God loves his home. Say with me, his home. Loves it far better than all. The homes of Jacob put together, God's hometown. Oh, everyone there is talking about you. So the God's hometown. I name them off, those among whom I'm famous. Egypt and Babylon and Philistia, even Tyre along with Cush. Words getting around. They point them out. This one was born again here. I'm going to read it again. This one was born again here. Where? Mount Zion. The word's getting out on Zion. Men and women, right and left, get born again in her. When you got born again, you got born again in a place called Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, and you came out of the womb, which is, anyway. Get born again in her. God registers their names in his book. This one, and this one. Born again, right here. Say with me, here. Singers and dancers, give credit to Zion. All my springs are in Zion. So where are you born from? You might be born at, I'd say, Pretoria. Or it might say Krugersdorp. But when you got born again, which is your real spiritual birthday, you were born from a place called Mount Zion. Abraham said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Whose builder and maker is God. You see, there's a city out there that is not built by human hands. It is a spiritual city. Are you guys with me? He looked and he said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Then it says that Moses, I believe it was Moses, came from a place called Jerusalem, which is a spiritual place. And he was king there. Moses was king there. And the Bible says he gave the law to them, a different law that was given to Israel. And it says the Lord reigned from that place and came with 10,000 of his saints. A spiritual city. Say with him, Mount Zion. So he said, we have money. Abraham had money. He said, we can build a city. But we are looking for a city that is a spiritual city. People are waiting for a rapture to one day have a physical city come down. But Paul says, we have come to Mount Zion. We are not waiting for Mount Zion. We have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So I know we're waiting for a Jerusalem to come, but he's trying to say, listen here, in you is Zion. In you is New Jerusalem. Why? Jesus says, me and my Father will make our permanent home in you. Krugersdorp, are you with me? Say, God is in me. He changed residence. Trust me. You are looking for a God from a fairy tale that is up in a heaven with unicorns and clouds, because it was taught you from Sunday school. But Jesus says, me and my Father will make our permanent residence. Permanent, meaning we have relocated from one place to another, a place called Mount Zion, New Jerusalem, which is now you, because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of God. Are you guys with me? Put on Matthew 5:14. Read it. Matthew 5:40. Say, you are the light. Read it. So you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You are a spiritual metropolis, meaning that there's a location in you. How do you think 6,000 demons can live in one person? Are you guys with me? Somebody preached wrong doctrine to you. You're waiting. Yes, will Jesus bring a physical kingdom? Yes, but we are waiting one day for a city to come. While Paul is, while John is saying, he says there will be a river that will flow out of this temple. Did Jesus not say, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water? You are the temple. Are you guys with me? It should make you excited. Not, it shouldn't make you. Some people look so depressed. It's like if I look at them, I feel depressed. God alleen weet. Why are people excited? Because they understand their new Christ identity. They understand that they are a new creation in Christ. They are a kainos creation. A kainos son of God. You are a kingdom generation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Everywhere you walk, it shall be given unto you. But you must have a revelation of who you are in Christ. Are you guys with me? This is why it's important. Say with me, pray with fire. You see, have your seats, have your seats, have your seats. I think it was the Moravian brothers, I think so, that sold themselves into slavery willingly, left their wives and their children, sold themselves into slavery because they heard the voice of God and they believed God told them to become a slave and go preach to the slaves. And you get offended because somebody doesn't like your Instagram post. You think you're going through persecution. Where's fire? You get offended. Leon doesn't greet us, or you know. Every time I mention on the church is jokingly saying, we get an email, my season is over. The next week we get an email, my season is over. You're right, your season is over. You're very right. Some people's seasons are beginning, other people's seasons are over. And where on the planet do people get a seasonal doctrine? It's nowhere in scripture. It's made up things of excuse that covers an offense. Rather be real and say, I took offense. God will appreciate you much more. So my season has changed. So, God was confused. Either two things. Either God was confused when he brought you here, or you made a mistake. Either one of the two. Either God is schizophrenic and he was confused, or you made a mistake. My season is over. No, be genuine. I feel like I don't fit in here. We'll appreciate that. Don't lie. I love you so much. I honor you so much. I will always honor you. Shut up, you flattery spirit. You know what the Bible says about flattery? Anybody that flatters me, I'm not speaking of honor, it's different. Flattery is a spirit where the Bible says that a flatterer is a murderer in his heart. So when I see somebody flatter me, I know they hate me. Are you guys with me? So let's see where we go from here. Marose, serve me. You know, I'm not teaching you eschatology. Next year we'll teach you eschatology, okay? Next year we'll have a Bible college course, a module. You can sign up for it. I'm bringing it on you next year because I need to put comprehensive study into it. And we'll give you all the different views. When I teach prophetically. So for sake of record, for those who are watching, please, this doesn't mean I am pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip, whatever. It doesn't mean any of that. I'm preaching to you prophetically. So when the Bible says a lion, you know, we will wait because in heaven one day when we get there, the lion and the lamb is going to lie together and all these things. Paul was trying to get a revelation through to us that we're already in heaven. Let me ask you something. If eternity has no time in it, if you die right now and you go into eternity, you go into heaven, I believe all of you agree with me, you'll be able to see your whole life, am I right? Yes. Your past, your present, your future. You go out of time. So, if I'm up here and I've past, present, future, I'm living in my present. I have my past, I'm going into my future. But up here is heaven. We think we're not in heaven. We're waiting for us to die. We die, then we think we're going to heaven. But then when you get to heaven, there's no time, you're out of time, which means you've always been there. That is why Paul said, you're seated in heavenly places already. Stupid people, unintelligent people will think, but how dare you speak such heresy? Because you're thinking with a linear time. While the Bible works in circular time. Totally different. You think of linear time. Linear time tells you there's a beginning and there's an end. Circular time tells you there's eternity. Are you guys with me? That is why a circle has so much power. That is why a mantle, a pictograph of a mantle in the Bible is a circle around a person's head, like this. That's why there's 24 elders, which represents 24 hours. Are you guys with me? So, I am not saying that, you know, so people have this image of when I die, then I'll be in heaven. But they fail to understand their new created identity. What Christ came to do for us already. That the whole of creation is waiting for the earnest expectation of the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is crying out. Earthquakes are happening, not because of the judgment of God. Waiting for man to come to his glorified state and understand the power they have. So we say the lamb and the lion will lie together one day. But William Branham had so much power on him. There was a moment when a bull chased him and his team was with him. And they ran away and they were frightened, but a bull was chasing him. And he stood with absolute peace, looking at the bull chasing him. And as it was right in front of him, he spoke the words to the bull. He said, I love you. And this is recorded. If you read his life story, the bull stopped in its tracks right in front of him, became like a puppy and walked away. Jesus would sit with Lazarus. This is documented history. Not in the Bible, but documented history. Jesus would sit with Lazarus. Lazarus was Jesus' best friend, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He would sit at their house. And Pontius Pilate would send out, and Herod would send out spies to journal and write what Jesus is getting up to. And they had to report back. And these letters have been made known. So they would write and say how Jesus would sit with Lazarus on a rooftop. And then he would get off and they would walk into the field. And as he would stand in the field, and report, and reporters, journalists would watch from far and journal his life. That's what they knew exactly who he was. Even when they came to meet him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they knew exactly who he was. They didn't need Judas to point him out. So they looked and they would say, the lion would come to him like a tame animal, and he would talk to it, rub its face, and it would walk away. Smaller animals would come to him and Lazarus, and they would talk to it and rub it, and it would walk away. This is documented. It's called the archaic history. Are you guys with me? Christians have settled for a spirit of religion which is under the new world order. That is why you are bound by depression, suicide, poverty. I believe that if we understand who we really are in God, your whole life will change. Poverty will be a thing of the past. You are not bound to your environment, neither your circumstances, neither what your parents were involved with or allowed in your life. You can break free from that thing if you press into the glory of God, if you press into the presence of God. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet. So I was preaching prophetically the whole night, just throwing out gems and jewels, and if you would catch it, you would catch it in your spirit. Let's see what God is going to do. Let's worship Him.